Hello, everybody, and thank you very much to the Foundation and to Jeremy for inviting me here to speak to you all today. As Jeremy says, I'm CTO at an organization called the Digital Catapult, and I'm a board member there. The Digital Catapult is part of the Catapult Network, which is a network of around 9 technology and innovation centers working in partnership across the UK. We at the Digital Catapult work across advanced technology areas, including things like 5G, 6G, future networks, IoT, Internet of Things, AI, immersive technologies, and quantum. So we are a relatively modest organization with the best part of about 300 people based in 4 sites really across the UK, principally in our HQ, which is near King's Cross in London. So we want to enable technologies to be supported into the UK and support their adoption, acceleration, exploitation for the benefit of industries, for the benefit of citizens, and for the benefit of society. So we do a number of things in the space. We run accelerator programs. We undertake research and development, collaborative research and development. We support take up and adoption of early stage technologies. So although I will run through a little bit of the Digital Catapult's activities in this area, I will also, some of the things I'll talk to today on the panel session will be my own personal views, especially if we're talking about regulatory issues or privacy, etc. I've been quite privileged to work in a number of settings in government, in the regulator as the director of AI in Ofcom and in the National Infrastructure Commission, as well as at the Catapult. So some of my perspectives really are kind of having seen across those. And so they'll be very much my own personal views. So in a minute, I think I'll just talk a little bit about some of the things that the Catapult has done and is doing in this space. But before I do, I thought I'd try and set the scene by trying to describe some of what we mean by edge technologies and technologies moving to the edge. Let's just define some terms, perhaps. And I also thought I would start out with some breadth in terms of what we're considering, because I think we will move on to some conversation that's going to be focused on people, health, medical devices, all of those things. We'll get quite deep into that conversation. So I thought we'd start perhaps broader than that. So what do we mean by the edge? I think we're used now in our lives to being cloud connected and having cloud connected devices. So our phone is essentially connected to the cloud and to data centers at all times. If you're doing a search on Google Maps, if you're using Alexa, if you're, you know, using any of those smart assistants, the query that you make is very often relayed back to a data center over a network, whether it's 4G or Wi-Fi or broadband, and then the processing happens in a data center, comes back out of the network to your device. So we're very used to that. Increasingly, though, that interaction is too slow, doesn't really work in a given situation. So it might be that your data is secure. You don't want to share it back to a data center. You may need much quicker real-time responses. It may be from many sensors. The data may be too big to pass around. So the edge refers really increasingly to sophisticated devices and sensors being available in homes, factories, shops, even cars, vehicles, which can do a host of things without going back to the core network and data centers. So it's often many sensors, many devices working together. Both networks and devices are evolving very, very quickly. So devices are using, obviously, ever more sophisticated processing. They're becoming very sophisticated at processing AI on the device. You will know that from your phones. But equally, the networks are evolving. So 5G, 6G networks are really important part of this, enabling very, very high data rates, have very, very little delay, and have significant processing near the edge where you're actually intending to have your use cases. So you may well have local processing, for example, in a factory, in a stadium, or in a station, which enables you to have the processing close to the devices as things get more and more increasingly sophisticated. So there's a few examples up here on the screen. This came from a recent 6G conference. So 6G, the conversations are beginning about 6G. We've barely got 5G. 6G is looking at communications, not just to us, but in a range of industrial settings, lots and lots of focus on being able to communicate to the edge. So examples like in the top left there, very deeply immersive technologies, immersive reality, virtual headsets, all of that sort of thing can be very, very challenging. AI processing is required close to that, and increasingly in the age of AI, where you're passing visual data backwards and forwards to train models, that can be very, very heavy. Smart factories is a very big use case where you're looking at robots, often in private networks in that factory or connected networks amongst different factories. And then you've got cases like drones and vehicles, which need to be connected and again, have strong kind of visual processing needs, which need to be therefore very close to the edge. I apologize about this slide in advance. Everything's moving at once. It's extremely annoying and busy. So I'll move on quickly. But this is a few examples of things that are here and now in terms of broad cases. So top left here, as I look, is NVIDIA's Omniverse platform, which is a digital twin platform, which is focused on smart factories, AI data processing, enabling, you know, robots and machine lines and cyber physical kind of simulations of factories to be close to what's happening in reality to drive efficiency and communication. Top right is a company called Niantic's Lightship platform, which is looking towards the real world metaverse and outdoor immersive experiences. Niantic, for those of you that don't recognize it, was the company that bought you Pokemon Go a few years ago and made an absolute stack of cash doing that. Bottom left is something called, is essentially virtual production. So we're talking there about special effects. This is an example of something called Star Wars, The Mandalorian production, which pioneered advanced virtual production film techniques. And bottom right is Ocado's warehouse, which is smart robots with communications built in, essentially picking up groceries from the floor. But all of these are underpinned, all of these examples which are real and are here and now are underpinned by the same building blocks of advanced digital edge technologies, digital infrastructure and human machine interfaces like XR and AR. So a couple of things, I'll just talk of a couple of things that we've done in the Catapult. So we have built two advanced media production studios, one in Gateshead in the north of the UK, one in London here in the east of London. They are connected, so they both have 5G networks at each production studio. They're connected by very, very low latency networks, which enables kind of really cutting edge media production for things like generative AI to be adopted within those use cases. It enables us to test things like, for example, we put them together in the pandemic. So you couldn't fly over actors from the US at that stage. So it enables you to do things like testing use cases where you may have actors in different geographic locations working on the same digital set. And then the other case there is something called on the right hand side, something called the 5G festival that we did, which involved a pop band with a singer at the O2 Arena in London, with the guitarist in a music studio in London called Metropolis Music Studio, and with drummers and other instruments down in Brighton, in the Brighton Dome, all of them connected by very low latency networks. And they were able to perform as a live band, visually being able to see each other with immersive headsets on and still play their instruments. And I think if you're a drummer, that's actually really quite challenging. So they played entire concerts to people with that kind of thing. So it's interesting use cases, which are very similar, I think, to a lot of the use cases that are envisaged in terms of the difficulties and the challenges that they present. I'll wrap up just by talking about a program that we're running in partnership with a number of the companies here, notably Innovate UK, Alan Turing, Standards Institute, and the Hartree Centre, called Bridge AI, which is a program that is looking to enable AI use cases to be adopted and to flourish in some quite different areas to the ones that are usually flourish in the UK. So only 5%, approximately 5% of AI startups in the UK focus on traditional sectors in the UK economy. So by which I mean things like transport, manufacturing, agriculture, construction, things like that. The large majority of them, around 95%, are focused in data science consultancies, IT, software platforms, often focused on sectors that are really focused on urban use cases, so financial services, advertising. So the Digital Catapult made the policy case for the Bridge AI program and designed some of the original concepts, working closely with Innovate UK and the UK Government's Office for AI to focus on this situation. And the aim of this program is to support the AI supply side in sectors in the UK economy that are currently underserved by the AI community, and to support those challenges being broken through, their ethical and business barriers and technologies and frameworks to enable that to occur. So it's quite a rich, quite dynamic program with a lot of organizations around the UK involved. I'll just speak to two examples. There's a company here I've just randomly picked out, because there's many, many companies in this space, called Vunex, which is a company specializing in the oil and gas area, which is tackling health and safety in that very dangerous environment using AI and computer vision to make the working environments safer for people to work in, using automated computer vision based approaches to look at what's going on, to flag and improve things. And the other end of the spectrum, I've picked a company called Neural Echo Labs, which is a UK based computer games startup, which is looking at immersive virtual experiences through brainwave communications, blending brain computer interfaces, VR and AI together. So again, very much a sort of edge use case. And through this accelerator program, the Bridge AI program, working with partners like the Information Commissioner's Office, this highlighted in this startup's case, really a considerable amount of high risk processing of data, unsurprisingly, and identified some gaps that they had as a startup in their policy and guidance around neurotechnology. And the Information Commissioner became a mentor of that startup and has got some ongoing engagement with them to support them as they sort of go on their journey from real startup into more mature companies. So that kind of shows some of the sorts of broader use cases, I think, that we might get into the detail as we start talking about medical devices and wearables and all of those sorts of things. I'm just finishing off with a thing that I saw on Twitter just a couple of days ago as just an interesting case, which I think shows really where things are going to move quite quickly. So you won't really be able to see these images very clearly, but this is an example of functional MRI imagery. So data sets from people who are shown an image. For example, here close to me, this image of a giraffe, and then AI is able to take the data from the functional MRI and construct what the person is looking at. And these are examples of that sort of thing going. So very complex space in terms of privacy. It shows some of the sorts of examples I think that we're going to run into here. So I just show that as a provocation perhaps at the end. So that's me finished. Thank you very much.